Maher, welcome to SBS Radio's Armenian program.
Thank you, Vahe.
Maher, a function is organized in 2 weeks. This is truly a special function that goes beyond the usual Armenian community functions. Could you give more details who organized the function?
I guess I've been leading a small team of volunteers in organizing this function. However, what's important to note that it's being hosted by the Uniting Church in Australia, which is Australia's third largest church. And you're right, it will be a landmark event for our community and indeed in relation to the Armenian genocide, because at this event we'll be paying tribute to a number of Australian humanitarians that helped the Armenian refugees during and after World War One. And I, for a mind, have no idea whether we've done this before, and it's long overdue, and I'm glad we're doing it.
Is there a reason why the Uniting Church is hosting the event?
Yes. Well, first of all, the venue has a special significance and an historic significance in relation to the theme of Australian humanitarians helping the Armenians. We're holding it in Ferguson Hall at the historic St. Stephen's Uniting Church on Macquarie Street in Sydney. And that church is located directly opposite New South Wales Parliament. Now, Ferguson Hall is named after Reverend John Ferguson, and he was one of the prominent Australians who established the Armenian Relief Fund in Sydney in 1918. So from that point of view, there's a link with the Uniting Church, because Reverend Ferguson's congregation was later incorporated into the Uniting Church. The other thing to note, and I think the other driver for why the Uniting Church is hosting the event, is because even though the Uniting Church itself was formed in 1971, its three predecessor churches, the Methodist Church of Australasia, the Presbyterian Church of Australia, and the Congregational Union of Australia, were all actively involved in the Armenian relief movement all the way back to the Hamidian massacres of the 1890s, as well as it with respect to the Armenian genocide during and after World War One. So their leaders at that time were involved in those activities that to raise funds for the Armenians and to give them help.
So, Maher, who will address the gathering?
The prominent speakers of the evening is the national head of the Uniting Church in Australia, its president, Stuart McMillan. The keynote speaker is Reverend Dr. Tim Costello, who's the Chief Executive Officer of World Vision Australia, and many of your listeners would know Tim as one of the leading social justice voices in Australia and very much a leading international humanitarian, and also one of the authors of Armenia, Australia and the Great War, the research that's brought to light this amazing history, Vikin Babkenyan. He'll also be addressing the evening. But I think for me, what's most special is that we've been able to track down a number of descendants of Australian humanitarians, and they will be there that night, and we'll have a way of showing our appreciation to them.
Could you give more information about Vikin Babkenyan's book?
So this year in 2016, New South Books published a book by Peter Stanley, a former chief historian at the Australian War Memorial, along with Vikin Babkenyan. And the book's called Armenia, Australia and the Great War. And I like to call it a patchwork quilt. It weaves in different histories and stories of Australians' interactions with Armenians around the time of the genocide. Some amazing stories. Things like Captain Stanley Savage, who was a leader of a small military team in northern Persia, part of Dunster Force, and his small team were outnumbered and outgunned, and they rescued over 70,000 Assyrians and Armenians under fire from the Turks. Captain Savage was awarded the Distinguished Service Order. He went on to found a legacy which till this day looks after veterans' families. There's people like Edith Glanville that Vikin's research has uncovered, who was a leading force of the Armenian relief movement at the time, and was one of amongst many women who were prominent in the Australian relief movement at that time. also people like Reverend James Cresswell, who was the national leader of the Armenian Relief Fund and went on tours of the Middle East to the Armenian orphanages as well. What's also very significant about what Vikem's uncovered in his research is that the Australian government was also involved to a limited degree in this effort. The Australian government set nationwide dates for fundraising drives in relation to the Armenians, and critically, it provided free transport, free freight on Commonwealth ships destined for the Middle East, which were stocked with donated goods by Australians. Now, that's amazing because that type of stance by the Australian government obviously is in contrast to the evasive stance that it takes till this day with respect to the Armenian genocide. What Vikem has also uncovered, beside the amazing individual stories, is how different segments of Australian society assisted the efforts. Leading companies assisted in the relief effort, along with the churches. Myer, for example, furnished its depot on Swanston Street in Melbourne as a collection point for donated goods. And, you know, other companies also, like Nestle, ANZ and so forth, were also to some degree involved in the relief movement too.
Mayor, is the function open and free?
Yes, it is. It's free, it's open, and we very much encourage your listeners to attend. They will need to RSVP though, and the details will be up on your website. Yes, I very much encourage people to come. It will be an amazing evening.
Mayor, thank you for the interview and the information.
Thank you, Vahe.